message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So now we said the word furtherance there is from the Greek word prokopē, and it means spiritual growth. Pastor Sandra, so good to see you. Hallelujah. So it means to grow spiritually. The word furtherance, it says he wants to abide with them in the church in Philippi, all right, for their furtherance in the faith and joy in the faith. So now that means Paul had an expectation in his pastoring. His expectation in the life of the church in Philippi is their furtherance and joy in the faith. And that's my desire as well. That means that you grow spiritually and that your joy life should increase. Now, you grow spiritually by hearing the teachings of accurate message of the gospel. So, growth is measured in knowledge. Not just knowledge now, but accurate knowledge. Accurate knowledge. Can you see that? So, growing in the right knowledge. And then, of course, your joy life will grow as you hear the truth, as you feed on accurate knowledge. Because one of the things that characterizes accurate knowledge is it helps you see the superfluous abundance of blessings that you have in Christ. And by the time you begin to feed on messages like that, what they do is they flush away every tendency of you getting anxious and getting, you know, depressed. So your joy life will increase. So, and that was why Paul ensured that his teaching, all right, would produce this. He was so sure that his teaching would produce spiritual growth and joy in the faith. Hallelujah. So, and that's why Paul was so strong on doctrine. You know, we're looking at the creed, the Christian creed, right? And then we mentioned in the last 2 weeks how that a creed simply means statement of belief. So that means as a church, we have a certain body of truth that we have come to accept to be ours. There's a certain body of truth that we have come to accept as ours. You know? And this body of truth were communicated to us by our forebears. It has become a tradition. It was traded to us by our forebears. Our forebears in context, I mean the early church. So there's a body of truth. And so we grow in this knowledge. Because you see, as the knowledge does not grow. It is we that we grow in the knowledge. That means we get to know more of it. Hallelujah forevermore. You see? And so, doctrine is something so, so important. And you see, there's a very important reason why we are taking it so seriously. And that's because God takes it seriously. Can I rub a amen to that? So, last week I helped you see how that in some, in quotes, Orthodox church, what you would call Orthodox church, all right, they take these things very seriously. So much that they have what they call a creedal statement. Like in the Catholic Church. I read it to you last week. I believe in God, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Maybe I should read it to you again. You know, hallelujah. Okay. So, this is one of the most popular creedal statements, you know, practiced basically. In most masses carried out in Catholic Church, you hear them say it, and I'm not too sure, but I guess that's it, that everyone is supposed to learn to be able to recite it, right? Good. Now, that might look dogmatic, but it has its own positive implication in the sense that it helps the parishioners to stay within the confines of this body of truth. It helps them to recite. You know, when you recite a thing, it becomes something that you are now become one with it. And that to me is a beautiful way to help people imbibe this culture of staying to the written word, staying with certain truth you have come to receive from the beginning. It is called Bible fidelity, where you are going to stay with the word and the teachings of it thereof. You know, it reads, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That already cancels the idea of science. Talks about evolution. So they believe in God as a creator, that there is a designer. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. I mean, every Catholic knows this. And that's why I tell people I'm a Catholic too. Of course, not a Roman Catholic. Maybe a Nigerian one. I'm a brown-skinned Catholic. Hallelujah. What's that? Why are you guys laughing? Is it because of that song? Brown-skinned guy. All right. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Listen, can't you see this is the vital element of the gospel?
Yes, sir.
The belief that he died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. He descended into hell. I've told you that hell is not figurative. I know there's a lot of teachings out there on the internet, you know. Hell is not somewhere at the back of Jerusalem where they dump waste. I'm saying whether it's Sheol or it's Hades. Don't mind them. Hell is real. Do you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. There is hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. Jesus went to hell. And he rose back on the third day. See, these are the things that most religion in the world will contend with you for. Because they believe almost every other thing apart from these things. And these things are actually what singles you out as a Christian. So, and you have to know, this church, we are very strong on doctrine. Very strong on doctrine. Because we believe that's the only thing that will stay with you forever. And you're going to see why I'm so strong on it today. Alright? You'll see it very soon. Because you see, when we talk about creed, we're talking about, you know, a statement of belief. That you see, we are a people with a set of belief, a certain body of knowledge that we have come to receive and embrace jealously so, in such a way that we would never allow anything contrary to come in. I mean, and we saw Paul too was so strong on doctrine. In fact, open to Ephesians 4, let's begin from there. Thank God today is a public holiday, so you don't run nowhere. Okay? You guys looking at me like that? You ain't running nowhere, so we're going to take our time today and learn the word of God. All right. I ain't running nowhere, too. We're going to be here. We're going to party here on the word of God.
Yeah.
And guess what? I know party like Holy Ghost party, because Holy Ghost party don't end. Don't worry, I won't take you 2 hours. Maybe 2 hours earlier. What's that? All right, I'm just kidding. Okay. Ephesians 4, everybody. I play too much, right? All right, it's fine. Sometimes you just have to be cool, eh? Life is not hard. Ephesians 4, let's go. In verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some, verse 11, and pastors and teachers, verse 12 says, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Can you see that? So Paul was saying, look, I don't want you to remain as children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. every wind of didascalia, every wind of doctrine. That means he doesn't want them to be carried away by every kind of teaching. He doesn't want you to be wafted about by every wind of ideology. Why? Because we have a body of truth that you must never allow anything take away from you. Go to 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 5. Because what I want to do today is, I just want to show you, why is it that Paul is so strong on doctrine? And this is God's desire as well. And this should be the desire of every pastor. Don't buy the idea of those who say, well, doctrine doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does. Any pastor who plays low on doctrine is just labor-lossing. There's any English like that. In 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 5, Apostle Paul told the church in Thessalonica, he says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you and our labor be in vain. See, let me tell you, the work of a pastor can be in vain. If after he has taught the people the truth, then someone goes ahead and successfully help them believe otherwise or something else, the labor of that pastor is in vain. See, let me tell you, that's why I'm jealous over you. It's nothing more. I mean, I have just one major relationship with every one of you. For your furtherance and joy in the faith. Alright? To help you discover, develop, and deploy God's plan for your life. That's all. Nothing mushy-mushy. And that's why I'm jealous over you. Because I can't afford, let me be honest with you, for those of you that are students, anytime you go home, I'm always praying more. Because I know when you are, some of you, there's no cornerstone yet in your, and I'm not too sure what church, so I'm like, dear God, Lord, help them. Because this is an experience I've had over years. When people come back from home, you have to start again. Especially students. And thank God this year, at least, the calendar has been, you guys have been having continuous academic session. It's been cool. But remember when I first started this church in 2017? I almost cried because it was my first time of experience where you come to a place where school will resume maybe in January. People will start resuming in March. And then by April, they will write the exam and they will go home. I'm like, 7 weeks of semester, I'm like, what? Because where I came from, 5 months, one semester. And even when you go for holiday, people don't go for holiday, they stay back. Because you can't even tell when school is on holiday or not. Because medical students will be on campus, engineering students will be on campus, agri students will be on campus for 5 years. You understand what I'm saying? Nursing students, the same thing. All these medical line, optistry, you understand? So school is still full. And guess what? Most people are in school learning all those things that are popular now. In those days, they were not popular. Like C++, you know, CNA, CCNA, all those Oracle, those Java, you know, even me too. I actually, you know, put in for PMP then, Project Management Professional. Excuse me, huh? So you have people stay back, and some people too will stay back to make money. Alright, to take tutorials for people. Some have graduated, but they are back on campus too. So, life was just bubbling. And some people too don't go home because there's no light in their house, but school there's always light. Because in my school where I finished, we always have 24 hours light. They take light 1 hour, we go on Aluta. Amen. So it was challenging for me as a pastor. Because some of you don't know why I can call him. Because I'm so jealous. And it's a beautiful jealousy. And I'm not just jealous because I like you. I'm jealous because I like my work. And I want to take a reward of my work in heaven. I'm going to show you how that a pastor can lose his labor. And he can lose his reward. See, I can start teaching all this rubbish and then there are some set of people that will start coming. And there will be more money. But you see, that's losing you. That's gaining the world and losing your soul. Losing your soul in context of this, I mean losing your conviction. You see that? Look at it. Look at Galatians 4. Let's go to Galatians 4. Let me show you. You see what the church in Thessalonica, right? How many of you saw that? Let's read it again. It says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. You remember he asked the church in Corinth, he says, examine yourself, whether you still be in the faith. That means that you are still in line with the body of truth that I brought to you the first time. He says, examine yourself, whether you are still in the faith. He says, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Look at Galatians 4. This is the fear of Paul, and this should be the fear of every pastor. Look at Galatians 4. Alright. And verse 9. The Bible says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. Oh, I love these semantics. Anyway. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly element, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Paul is saying, hey, now that you're born again, why are you going back into bondage? He says, you observe days and months and times and years. Do you understand? I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Do you understand? He's saying, look, I am afraid lest my labor in you should be in vain. You know what happened? Paul preached to the Galatians. They got born again. He preached to them that, you know, eternal life came to them by faith. He asked them in chapter 3, he says, he that ministereth the things of God to you, doeth he it by the hearing of faith or by the works of law. That means saying, listen, the things of the Spirit, the salvation I brought to you, you got it by faith. Why are you now veering off into law? Guess what? They began to observe Jewish holidays. Let me give you for free. Holiday means holy day. You understand now? See, I'm going on holiday. It means holy day. You understand? So all those Jewish days, those Jewish calendar, they were still observing it. There are some people today now, some fraction in the Christendom, they say their own is Sabbath. Oh, it's Sabbath. It's because they don't even know the meaning of Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. Say, ah, God rested on Sabbath day. So they are trying to say, ah, no, we have to obey, you know, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath day. I've done a teaching on that, right? The Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy because God kept the Sabbath holy. That Sabbath is Christ. Anyone who believes in the gospel is holy, is set apart. These are types and shadows. So they veer off into observing Jewish calendar, Jewish day, Jewish holidays. That was what they veered off into. And they were now seeing it as a criteria to be saved. When Paul already said, listen, you were saved by faith in the finished works of Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. And that's what Paul calls to fall away from grace. You know, many times people assume that when you hear the word fall from grace, it means maybe the person fell into sin. Or maybe they see a believer living for God and of a sudden, you know, he started living wayward. They say, ah, he has fallen from grace. No, that's not what it means to fall from grace. I am not saying someone who is fervent for the Lord all of a sudden starts misbehaving. I am not saying that the life he's living is now gracious. No. But what I'm saying is that the biblical context of falling from grace means to choose to make available for yourself what God has made available for free. To put a price tag on that which God has made free. Can you see that? To veer back into the law. That's what they see. Open to Galatians 5. Let's see it. You know, Paul preached to them that salvation only came to them by the finished works of Christ. So some other persons now began to make them believe or assume that, look, It doesn't come by grace, oh. It comes by hard work. That's the way you will be saved. You have to observe all the commandments of the Jewish tradition. So they got them back into observing those Jewish tradition. So Paul says they fall from grace. Look at it. Galatians 5 verse 1, he says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty whereby, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 2, "Behold, I Paul say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Let me tell you, do you understand what is happening there? Some people were telling them that they still need to remove the foreskin of their private male organ, male private organ, before they will be saved. Don't forget, it was actually a practice by the Jews. I've taught you this, right? Circumcision. So now Paul came and says, listen, this thing is just a shadow. That's why Paul used the word that we are the circumcision and we have no confidence in the flesh. So, these Jewish guys, alright, they were trying to make the Gentiles feel like, listen, yes, you have believed, yes, you are born again, but you still have to cut that thing. You still have to do that. So Paul says, if you are saying that it is by circumcision you will be saved, then Christ is of no value to you. Then that means Christ needed not to come. Then there was no need for his death anymore. Then he had no reason to come and die. He says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to the old law." Do you understand the argument here? Paul is saying, if you are insisting that everybody must be circumcised before they will be saved, then everybody must observe the whole of the law, other law then. By the way, there are 612 laws. And the rule is, if you fail one, you fail all. So Paul is saying, you can't just cherry pick circumcision alone because it suits your flesh, because you want to feel superior. Because, you know, the Jews are the only ones that were circumcised. Come on now. Which was to prove what? Identification. What were the significance of circumcision I taught you? Identification and what? Immunity. So they were the only ones that, you know, were, you know, referred to in that sense as God's people. So Paul is saying, if you insist that circumcision is the way, then the work of Christ is not useful anymore then. Then in verse 4, can we all read verse 4 together, everybody? Verse 4, 3, 2, go. "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace." Can you see that? So you fall from grace when you choose to stop accepting that your salvation came and is sustained by that which Christ has done. That's what it means to fall from grace. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That means you began in the spirit and now you began to assume that you'll be perfected in the flesh. That's what he says in the previous chapter. He says, "Are you so foolish?" Galatians 3 verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Can you see that? So Paul was strong on doctrine. Because he knew that if these people don't continue in what I've taught them, I've labored loss. Go to the first chapter, let's see. First chapter, let me show you something in verse 6. Chapter 1, when he began to talk to them, verse 6. Are you there? Chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel." The gospel of potters, mysteries. The gospel, it says they've been moved. Somebody has come to move them away to another gospel. He says, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And see, Paul was so sad about this. Hallelujah. So he won't take anything aside the truth. All right. Open 2 Corinthians 11. I'm telling you why I am so serious about this message series that we are doing. And that's why I'm giving it to you little by little. 2 Corinthians 11 is such an important topic. 2 Corinthians 11. And verse 2. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. He says, for I am jealous over you. With what? With godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Do you understand Paul's use of figure of speech? I'm not sure you understand it. Okay, let's read it again. Let's read it together again. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. 3, 2, go. I want a uniform reading. We have time today. I'll wait for you. You have to open there. Today is word seminar. All right. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. 3, 2, go louder. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul is saying, look, I have espoused you. You know, Paul is borrowing an old language in the Jewish tradition. They call it betrothal. Alright? I don't even know what it means to be betrothed. When you say somebody is betrothed. So, say, I've espoused you, alright, to one husband. So that I can present you as a chaste virgin. You know, he is saying, look, I handed over a doctrine to you. But now, you are now filled with so many teachings that are not the gospel. This is, I fear, lest by any means, as serpents beguiled Eve. Did you know that Adam told... Anyway, that's not a teaching for today. When you saw the response of Eve, alright, to the serpent, you would know that she really never understood the instruction. God didn't say they should not touch it. She added her own jara. That's where religion began. And I blame Adam because... I believe Adam refused to teach his wife. Because she was not there when God gave the instruction. Alright. Had God said you should not eat of this tree? Say, ah. God said we should not, in fact, he said we should not come near it. In fact, he said we should not, Just like our parents growing up. Do you know growing up, I used to think if you hug a lady, the lady will be pregnant. Amen. So, that's when religion began. So, Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety. He says, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See after me, say simplicity that is in Christ. See, the Christian faith is simple. 7 levels of anointing. See, in all those things... You are in Christ, born again. You have a father, a relationship with him. CQED. Shikenan. And he has given you a pastor to keep feeding you and training you for destiny so that you can go all out and bear fruit. Shikenan. Let me tell you, the end result of church is to make you soul winners. Don't let anybody complicate Christianity for you. Brothers, we have to press into God. See, if you are pressing, if you want to press into God, all right, do it with understanding. Pray. But pray with understanding. Hallelujah forevermore. See, and let me tell you, if you stretch the things of the Spirit beyond the scripture, you will open yourself to demonic spirits, familiar spirits. And you think you're hearing God. He says, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, you see why the saints in Ephesus, he has to send Timothy. You remember? I taught you last week. When Paul was going to leave Ephesus. See, this was Paul's greatest fear. This should be the greatest fear of any preacher. Did you see that we read several scriptures where he said he's afraid, right? Come on now. To the church in Galatia. To the church in Thessalonica. Sure, you can see. This is his fear that somebody will just come and successfully, you know, carry you and start telling you seven mysteries of the kingdom. You know, this is the fear. Why? Number one, because it is like the pastor, the preacher has labored in vain. Let me tell you, why I'm doing all these things I'm doing? Huh? Why I'm going all out for God? Huh? Can I tell you? Of course I love you. But let me tell you, much more than loving you, reward. There's reward in heaven. Someone say, that one in the air, she didn't have that. The reason why reward in heaven does not make sense to you now is because you are sensual. If God opened your eyes to see into eternity, to see how futile this whole world is, you would double up for eternal rewards. Eternal rewards. Let me just help you. Now, if you are working hard, maybe you start up a business and something, and then you started getting bigger, you bought cars, that's the reward of your labor, right? Good. Because you are on this earth. But in that afterlife, no cars. Something else will be more valuable. Do you understand? There will be something that is also of value in the afterlife. And he says, look, you have the power to determine it here on earth by your service for the kingdom. And your primary service for the kingdom is so winning. Did you hear what I said? So winning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Today, I just want you to see why we are so strong on doctrine in this church. And I have all the time today. I just want you to see it. You know, Paul was going to leave Ephesus. What's that? I have all the time. I know what I have. All right. Paul was going to leave Ephesus. Guess what? He had to bring his son. He's like me now. Maybe if God tells me now to move. All right. Maybe to Gombe, or I don't know why Gombe is always coming to my mouth. I reject it in Jesus' name. Yes. Okay, I receive it in Jesus' name. What's that? All right. I'm going to be careful who is going to continue the work I started. I must be sure he's going to be preaching the same thing. And I'm not going to be sentimental about it. Because otherwise, it's a labor loss. Look at what Paul did now. Open to 1 Timothy 1, everybody. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God and our Savior, and Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. Can you see that? Paul told the son Timothy to stay where? In Ephesus. For what? He says, when I went into Macedonia, that thou what? Mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So he didn't only tell him what to preach. He also told him not to allow anyone preach another gospel. That's why in this church, Pastor Sandra, no. If I hear the choir sing any song that I don't like, Pastor Sandra will be responsible for you. Will explain after service. Explain to me, how did they sing that kind of song? That was the most scrutinized all our songs. We don't just sing any song. You know that some things, some song they sing is a moving song. Well, no matter how he moves, if he's not in the gospel, it's your emotion that is moving. It's not your spirit that is moving. Yes, some things can move your soul, but it doesn't move your spirit.
Yeah.
Huh? Have you seen Michael Jackson? Many of you are young, anyway. So all these 20 kids, you know what I'm saying. I didn't mean to speak low of you, but if I had 20 kids, you wouldn't know what I'm saying. All right. Or perhaps you could have seen, you know, all those, Billie Jean, normal, Jesus, who says I am the man, but the kid is a man. I think the last concert, all right, was it 2010 or thereabout? I think 2010. Yeah. Right? I can't remember. Alright. That he was supposed to have, I think, in London. He came to the podium, see people falling under the power. People were fainting. He is touching their soul. Don't you see that when all these when they enter stage, you see people say, oh, don't you see their face? Don't you see emotion? Rubbish. It's the soul. Emotions. And that's very powerful. But it doesn't mean it makes spiritual sense. I mean, before I got born again, I used to tell you that I used to rap Tupac. And there was one song, two of his songs majorly that normally make me cry. Dear Mama. And Changes. Because I felt he's a black guy. The lyrics make me feel like he's been, you know, maltreated in the American community and all that. Pull the trigger, kill the nigga, he's an hero, you know. So I feel like, oh, I'm crying. You know, when I was young, remember heartbeat, 17 years old, kicked out in the street. Ain't no woman in life that could take my mama's place. And I'm there crying, suspended from school, was scared to go home, I was a fool with the big boy. So, it's touching my soul, but it's nonsense. So, just because something makes you cry, doesn't mean it makes any spiritual sense. Amen forevermore. So you see, he had to tell Timothy that, look, make sure nobody preaches another gospel on that pulpit. Because I'm leaving to Macedonia. Make sure you stay back in Ephesus. I wish I had enough time to tell you about Ephesus. So much idolatry in that land. Such a way that one of the wonders of the world was in Ephesus. The great temple Artemis, where they have the goddess Diana, the goddess of multiple breasts, where people will come from all over the world for, what do you call this thing now, when people come to other places for, pilgrimage. People come for pilgrimage there. I think I've done a teaching on that, right?
Yes,
I have. Sit, walk, and stand.
Yes.
Yeah, I think part two, I went depth into it. So Paul had to tell him to stay back in Ephesus so that he would not allow, look at it, that you charge. He says to charge. That nobody should teach any other doctrine. You know the meaning of charge? Like stop and don't let anyone preach any other thing apart from the gospel. He says, neither give it to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Somebody say faith. So edifying is in the faith. It's certain body of truth. I told you that last week. He now says, now the end of commandment is this, that. Okay, let's look at it. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain juggling. He says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they are found. See, look up. As long as doctrinal persuasion is concerned, the New Testament church, we stick to the written word in the epistles primarily. Are you following? Because the foundation of the New Testament church is on the writings of the apostles, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Figuratively, he's saying, listen, Christ is the foundation. That means our theology is on Christ. It's Christ, 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 Christ. Everything must be within the circumference of his death, burial, and resurrection. Even our rebuke must be from the circumference of his death, burial, and resurrection. Our correction, the same thing. When Paul was going to correct people who were living wayward in scripture, he corrected them from the standpoint of the finished works of Christ. He says, know ye not. He's always calling back their knowledge to that which Christ has done for them. It becomes our fulcrum. When Paul wants to teach the church in Philippi, alright, wants to teach them on humility, he used the same fulcrum of the gospel. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, that though being equal with God, yet he became man, he became flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's always from that body of truth. Open to Ephesians 2, let's see it. Hallelujah. And I like the way Paul spoke. Paul said, look, as per the doctrine of the New Testament, I am the man. See, I laid the foundation. And that foundation is Christ. Look at it. Ephesians 2 verse 19. It says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon what? The foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. That's how we got our church name. Amen. So Christ is the foundation. And Paul said, I laid the foundation. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 quickly. 1 Corinthians 3. So I want you to know that we are insisting on sound doctrine because we do not want to label us. I don't want to label us. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth upon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon... Now, look at... Pay attention to this now. He's saying, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Did you understand that? Paul is using figure of speech to explain what happens. That means if a preacher preaches, all right, some other things apart from the gospel. Paul likens it to, you know, the afterlife as a situation where when you are preaching the pristine truth about Christ, it is like you are laying up for yourself gold, silver, precious stone. But the moment you swerve away from the truth, learning jargons, vain jangling, it's like you're adding hay. You know hay now. I don't know if you know A. H-A-Y. You know that normal children make A why the sun shines. So A there. A now. A. H-A. That, it means grassy. Grass when they're caught. Dried grass. So some people's work is hay, stubble, wood. Everybody's work will pass through fire. Now if you have wood, hay, stubble, and you pass it through fire,
What will remain?
So he says he will suffer loss. Say some people's work will be burnt. So don't be amazed. All right. Some people can have fruitfulness, physical fruitfulness, like cars, you know, houses, and those ones too. I am not saying that everywhere where the ministry is not prospering is because they are saying the truth. You know, some people like to live in delusion. The reason why we are more than five in this church is because, you know, there was one man that said, God told me to only pastor 50 people. It's a lie. You are lazy. They are the type of pastors that used to watch movie in the church office. Go out and win souls. Amen. But what I'm saying in essence is, all those work, metaphorically, Paul is saying it will pass through fire. In fact, let me tell you, if you are teaching rubbish, you know rubbish, now that means something that is not in line with Christ. You don't even have to wait till eternal life, till in afterlife. Right here on earth, the people will be exposed to the truth eventually. Let me ask you, how many of you grew up in homes where you used to attend churches where your pastor, you love your pastor, was really laboring, right? And he was really laboring, preaching, you know now, preaching hay, stubble, and grass, and wood. But now that you are hearing the truth now, you have discarded soul knowledge, right? That knowledge, right? Some of you grew up in, you went to churches where they taught you mysteries. Now, do you hold us those knowledge anymore? Many of you have thrown away your jota. Because when you look and say, just like this fine girl on her Facebook, she say, I went through my timeline, say, man, I've really grown. And that's truth. You should be able to assess yourself. See, listen, growth is not an abstract idea. Growth is discernible. And it is measurable. You can tell that you have really grown. I like the post now. I think I gave it a like. She went through all her posts. And then she said, I have really grown. Yeah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we insist on sound doctrine because that is the only way we won't have labored in vain. I don't want to suffer loss. See, let me tell you, I have deprived myself too much of many things. I say this to my shame, but please don't record this part. I was... Man! Amen. Please. I quit things that would have given me good money. You know, pastoring is hard work. Sure, you know. Yeah. Don't let me labor loss. I'm not teaching today. I'm just trying to let you see why I'm teaching this series. That's all I want to do today. And it's worth it. I want you to know why we are teaching this series, the creed, the Christian creed. I want you to stay. You can start recording now. I want you to stay, you know, Bible fidelity. Stay glued to the word alone. I have espoused you to one man. Please. So that I can present you as a chaste virgin on the last day. You know that this ministry is a network business. You don't know. When we get to heaven, I'll stand like this. Pastor Shagun will stand like this. Then whoever left Pastor Shagun too will stand like this. Because Pastor Luke too will stand like this. Baba Debo too will stand like this. Then me at the back there. Then Pastor Sandra will be there. So when I look back, don't let me be looking. Where's Madaki? Madaki, where are you? No. Amen. Don't let somebody come and. That's why. You see, shepherd. You see that stick that shepherd has. You see that coiled part. Is to kill the wolf, wipe the wolf. That's the purpose. Shepherd has that stick so that. See wolf. Go after your sheep. Like if I see you in any kind of service online, God of Elijah fire ministry. And then you are always in all the meetings. Once I see that this, I will call you. Hey, where were you last night? This pastor said to the check person, every small thing you go on. I will. I don't want to label loss. I'm jealous over you with what? Godly jealousy. Hallelujah. And see, don't try to feel maybe. I am not saying I am the only one getting it right. But I am saying this with all humility, that if you follow me as I follow Christ, you won't miss it. Amen. Open to Philippians 2. I'm showing you that you see how Paul, you know, was so serious about this thing. Nobody wants to. How many of you would like to labor in vain? Nobody wants to. How many years from 2011 till now?
Ten.
This is what I've committed 10 years of my life to, pastoring. It's actually 11 years, because when you count that year, 2011, 2012, that was the year. So I can't label loss. And I am not saying that I've been deprived of so many good things. So listen, I go get money. I go do all right. You know that part that Nicki Minaj sang? Even if I cry, I know I'll be far. Prepare for a miracle in this. Sometimes I'm wondering, pastor's quoting Nicki Minaj. All right, I beg, don't record this. I'm not in trouble. All right, it's the one that Tasha Cobbs actually featured her. Amen. All right, what's that? I'm getting ready. Let me say it true so that everyone knows. I think that pastor's taking to the. You know the song now? So even if I cry, I know I'll be fine. So even I know I'm going through this, I know I'll be fine. Right? So Paul was strong on this. Go to Philippians, let me show you. Philippians 2 and verse 14. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying live right, so that you will be blameless among the people in the world. That's why he says, you know, seek peace, all right, and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. So what it means is that walk in peace and righteousness among people, so that the world can see the Lord. That's the original. It's not like, do you get the point? He's saying you should live righteous in the world, so that the world through you, so that you can be blameless in this crooked world. Is that simple enough?
Yes.
So that's what he's saying. He says, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. Do you see that now? He's saying, shine your light. Verse 16, he now tells you how. Did you see semicolon there?
Yes.
In verse 15. Come on. Did you see semicolon there?
Yes,
what's the meaning of semicolon? He's still talking. That means what I'm about to say is the explanation of what I just said now. Right?
Yes,
verse 16 now says, can we all read verse 16 together in unison? 3, 2, go. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored. Did you see? Let me tell you something. See, permit me to use this word. Everybody is selfish. Paul is selfish. And it's a good selfishness. And what is selfishness? He's running for his own reward. So he kept teaching them the truth. And many times he said, I'm checking up you. Examine yourself. Are you still in the faith? To the church in Corinth. Every church. Put Timothy there. Go to Ephesus. Make sure nobody teach any other thing. Why? Because he doesn't want to lose his reward. He doesn't want to labor in vain. I think selfishness is the wrong word to use for that. Right? Because at the end of the day, he's pursuing a reward. the life of the people too are better off, right? They also will bear fruits of righteousness. They will bring more too into that same knowledge of the truth, right? So it's a win-win game. That's why me, one preacher was around. He says, "Man of God, I'm in town. Just was it last month? Say, we'll be friends on Facebook. No, me say you are in town. So what you come have? Say you're in town." Yeah. I've seen all your theology, all this. You can't come because I cannot let you preach. Then for the next 2 months, I will now be preaching against what you have preached. It is fruitless. What I will preach for the next 3 years? Is already, I have it in sketch. I'm not saying I'll prepare it, but I have it in sketch already. That's why I'm not crying. I'm not looking for poop. Have you ever seen me jumping? I'm not looking for plant. See, if I focus on you and I'm doing evangelism, I'm following up, it will grow. The places you are running to, they built it too. Build your own. That's why, even in this business world, I don't know why some people have the craze about Gucci. I'm not saying you should not buy all those things. So, where is your own brand? You see, Nigerians will be talking about, Fendi, Ferrari, Kenico. Where is your own? You know, a senior pastor, was saying that I go to London. No, he went, was it US? There's one place where the likes of Nicki Minaj, the likes of... where they normally shop, I think goods bag, good stuff. I forgot the name of the supermarket. So his name is Pastor Poju. He said, so when he got in the US, he summoned courage that he also wants to go to that supermarket. You know. So he felt like, because there's only big guys that go there. So he said, when he got there, to his greatest amazement, the first shoe he saw, he's wearing the same shoe. Same. It's not as if his own is fake. It's just mindset.
Yes,
praise God. I said, praise God. So, the idea is, we do not want to labor loss. We don't want to labor loss. You know, like the story I was telling you. So when he got to the place where he was going to buy, when he got to the supermarket, he now saw Ankara. You know Ankara? Eh? He said he walked up to it and then he checked it. I think he saw, was it $1,200 or something? Do you know how much is that? Say, hey, Ankara? Ankara? He said he removed his shirt. I said, Ankara? I'm not sure, maybe it's $500 or thereabouts, but it was some kind of big money. It was like, really, Ankara? He said he was shouting Ankara. The guy was like, he was shouting Ankara, Ankara. What I'm trying to say to you is that the Gucci, the bag you are killing yourself, over there, when it comes here, is a company that does it? I don't know, some people just have wrong mentality. Anything that is from abroad, abroad people. Belle. Amen forevermore.
Amen.
We don't want to labor vain. Let me just rush. Let's go to that scripture again, then we close. 2 Timothy. Today, I just want you to see the reason why we are strong on this message, the Christian creed. Because we don't want you to be carried away by other form of didascalia, other form of teachings, doctrine. 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. Now go to verse 8 quickly. He now says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner,
But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Can you see that? See, this is sound doctrine, right? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Can you see that? For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, he now says in verse 13, he now says, you see what they go through, but I better go. Hold fast to the form of sound words, which thou hast what? Heard of me, in faith and in love, which is what? In Christ Jesus. He now says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Can you see that? Paul was serious on this thing. He says, you can see the way I suffer, the way I'm going through all this. He says, I beg, the thing why I teach you, no Allah, another person, carry and come out. Because let me be honest with you, some of the things we have taught, that's why it takes years before conviction is formed. It is still in your heart, you know, you believe, but the conviction is not yet very strong. So you can find yourself in a place where they will say, I heard that some preachers are saying that you don't know about baptism. Who said so? If you don't receive water baptism, you'll go to hell. Let me show you. And then they began to show you. Because, see, they will show you from scriptures. But it's just scripture that is not rightly divided. And let me say this. No matter what, who is saying what, if they speak not according to this truth, there is no light in them. Forget about, and can I be honest with you? Some of these popular, in quotes, preacher who say things that are not in line with God's word, as far as God is concerned, many a times, God does not have issue with them. Do you know why? Many of them don't know. So there is sincerity in the heart. I don't know. For instance, whether you like it or not, your salvation is eternal. See, any salvation that is not eternal is not from God. If God saves you, he saves you once and for all. So there is no fear of hell for the one who is born. Do you know who you are? You have the earnest of the Spirit. Amen. Pastor, you know people who ask foolish questions like that. Are you now saying that if somebody is born again now and then he now went to fornicate and as he's fornicating like this, trumpet just sound? You see people ask a kind of question. Those kind of people who ask those questions, you know that there are something is wrong with their head. Number one is a Christian will not desire to be living stupid life. Like one was asking on the Facebook one time, what if somebody got born again? Then he now went, started stealing, killing people. Are you now saying that if Jesus comes now, he will go to heaven? First of all, I need to reverse your brain. You mean somebody got born again, then he now went to carry gun, start killing people, start living in here? All those emotional questions, all those emotional blackmailing, you know they work. You are saved eternally. Amen. And
You know the good thing? Whether you believe you are saved, that's why I don't like causing trouble. See, I've grown. I don't have time causing trouble. Now I'm focused on soul winning. Because whether you believe you are saved once and for all or not, you are saved once and for all.
Yeah.
See, Pastor, what if somebody now chooses that doesn't want to serve God again? That I want to go to the world. I say, yeah, yeah. When you boarded the flight, after you paid the ticket and they boarded you guys into the flight, when you go to the sky, why didn't you tell the pilot, I'm not going again, drop me. You have come. You carry your head, your two leg, your two hand, your two nostrils, your eye, your buttocks. You carry yourself to bank and drop your money inside bank. Oh, your own money. You put it inside bank. But tomorrow you need money, you go to ATM. ATM says, unable to dispense cash. See, what they are telling you is that even though it is your money, the moment you started business with us, you no longer have control. You don't get. You don't hook. This eternal life thing with the inside you, eh? You know what Jesus talk? He say, my father that gave me them is greater than all. And no one can snatch. That means you have to, that thing that will snatch eternal life from you will first go and kill God. Then kill Jesus. Remove the spirit of God inside you. So, are you now saying that we cannot believe in? You see, the moment you start asking, are you now saying something is wrong with your head? Now, question is, do Christians do wrong? Yes, 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 yes. They do wrong. But when they did wrong, did Jesus come down, was born, like is Mary pregnant now again? To come and die a second time? It is the death that he died once and for all. And Pastor, are you not saying that? Don't tell me, are you not saying, shut your trap. And you mean, if somebody now saying now, listen, before you were born, were you there 2,000 years ago when he died? Answer me now. Okay. So that means the death he died 2,000 years ago covered for your sin before you were born. So why do you think that your future sin or what you will likely do that is wrong in the future, the blood did not cover it? Meanwhile, the salvation you received, you actually received it. It was actually paid for before you were even born. Pastor, if you preach this thing now, people will start living. Listen, let me tell you. Look. Let me put it to you like this. How many of you here, your dad buys you Range Rover? New one, clean one. Sweetheart, take it. Of course, I'm going to buy good cars for my daughters. Me, I used to make mouth that before any guy would do any shimmy, shimmy, shimmy for my children, my daughters, I'll be able to first take them out on a date, first take them out of the country, so that no guy will come and use those things to story for the gods. Now, imagine your dad buys you a Range Rover Sport 2020. Say, take the key. Your name is on it. It belongs to you. Say, glory, hallelujah. Then you say, now I can go to the highway now and bash it. The next thing we'll call is psychiatric doctor to come and check your brain. It's not possible to say you have eternal life. Then you now say, you mean, Pastor, I have eternal life. I will not perish. Oh, yeah. I'm doing threesome tonight. We'll first check whether you were not really born again. Amen forevermore. Let me close with this. 2 Timothy, was that Pastor want to close? How many times you want to close? 2 Timothy 2. Anyway, after this one, one more scripture. Then one more scripture. Sorry, I still have a lot of... Okay, let's run now. I think I've played too much. Let's go. I said you're open to what? 2 Timothy 2, right? And verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same what? Commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to do what? So Paul is telling Timothy that the things I'm teaching you, keep it and pass it to faithful men who will also teach others. And what is that in the 13? Go to verse 8. In the same context. Verse 8, what did he say? Remember that what? That Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what? My gospel. You didn't get it. Paul is telling Timothy that, see, don't forget the gospel I preached to you was that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Keep it. Pass it on to others. Unadulterated gospel. Hold it with gravity. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. He says in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take it how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is who? Christ. So somebody say, Christ is the foundation. So now, if Christ is the foundation, what are we to know about this Christ? It's simple. Luke 24. Luke 24. Let me put it this way so that you'll get it. If Jesus was to come down right now, all right, and you are to, and is to tell you who he is or what he wants you to know about him, the most important thing he wants you to know about him, what would those things be? Well, it doesn't need to come down from heaven. The word of God can show us, because it actually, what I just shared, the question I just put to you right now actually happened in Luke 24. After resurrection, Jesus came down from heaven. And instead of him to do, I don't show, to those guys on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says he began to expound to them from the law, from Moses, from the prophet, from Psalms, things concerning himself. So he began to show them from the scripture about himself, things he wants them to know, things they should know about himself. And what are those things? Let's look at it. Luke 24, and verse 25, let's just rush it. 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So the way he wanted them to know, to show them that, you know, they were crying that Jesus Christ, they were crying that, you know, their padre has been killed. Now they have gone to check the sepulchre. They can't find him. Then Jesus said, listen, ought not Christ, that means the Messiah, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. In other words, these are the two things that you should know about the Christ. He is someone that will suffer and will enter into the glory. So that means two things about Christ is what? The sufferings of Christ and what? And the glory that should follow. The glorification that should follow. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So this is the gospel. Let me just stop here. Let me just keep all this. Time is fast spent already. Amen. We started pretty late. Hallelujah. Say the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the sufferings is just the death and the burial, right? The glory is what? The resurrection and the ascension. So, and what makes it beautiful is this. We are part, it is accrued to our account that we have suffered with him. Therefore, we are glorified with him. So that means learning about Christ is primarily learning about yourself. Because you are in him. What goes for him goes for you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Have you learned something? Yes, at least I fulfilled one purpose today. I've let you see why we are strong on this doctrine as a church. There's a reason for it. Number one, Pastor loves you. is jealous over you with what? Godly jealousy. Secondly, pastor does not want to labor loss. I won't lie to you. No, I don't want to labor loss. Amen. I don't want to labor loss. And for your information, I'm taking some steps already now that will make me really make sure that I don't labor loss through. So that I'm going to be winning soul now every day. Every day. So that. What's that? So that when Jesus come, this is a network business. You don't know.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.